Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back this evening. And today is Monday, June the 13th, 2016. We'd like to welcome you to the broadcast tonight and to give an early Father's Day to my brothers out there and wishing them well. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about being a father and some of the things, you know, what's a conversation. We're going to talk about how you're doing. We encourage you to call in tonight and join the conversation and share your input, share your thoughts. It's 646-668-2636. Also, you can go on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can give us input there, share with us there, and send us a message, any question you might have or anything you might want to answer as we continue the conversation. We have a couple of announcements, some upcoming men's events. We encourage you to come and join and be with us at. I'm going to open up with prayer and scripture, and then we're going to go into the conversation for tonight. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be reading from Titus, chapter number 2, starting at verse, no, excuse me. Titus, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 11. And the word of God says, "For the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone. And along with this gift comes the realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures and to live good, God-fearing lives day after day, looking forward to that wonderful time when we've been expecting, when His glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died under God's judgment against our sin so that He could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us His very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others. You must teach these things and encourage your people to do them, correcting them when necessary, as one who has every right to do so. Don't let anyone think what you say is not important." Father, we say thank you tonight, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for fathers, God. We thank you for the elders and pastors and leaders, oh God. We thank you for those, oh God, who mentor and disciple us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives, God. Father, today we want to pray for men everywhere, Lord God, for the husbands, the fathers, and sons, Lord God, for those in authority and those under authority, Lord God. Father, you know, oh God, what the purpose and plan of their life is. You know exactly where they are at this moment of this day, Lord God. And God, you know the outcomes, oh God, that we might not be able to see tomorrow. We may not be seeing what's around the next corner, Lord God. But we know, God, that our lives are in your hands. So today, Father, we say thank you. Continue to guide us and direct us. Continue, oh God, to do the work in us, oh God. Strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here live this Monday, Monday evening. And tonight we're going to be talking about fathers and fatherhood. And that's what we're going to be discussing a lot this month, for the month of June, for the next upcoming shows. And we encourage you to call in and join us and share some of your stories as a father, some of the overcoming, some of the things that you've been through as a father. You know, we look back when we were young parents and young fathers and our children were just being born, the expectation, the excitement, the thrills. And then as we father our children through their life, and some are still in it, some are still with, you know, you have elementary schoolers and middle schoolers, high schoolers, and it's still a process. Because being a father is one of those things, it's a lifetime role, and it's an ongoing thing. And we have to be able to grow and mature. And then we learn some things about ourselves a lot. That's one of the things I do realize and understand, that, you know, talking to men, that they realize that they learn really a lot about themselves through the process of fathering as the children grow. And as they go through different seasons and maturity levels and struggles and ups and downs, and how we respond, how we encourage, how we have, you know, discipline, how we have to support and be able to speak into their lives at different levels. You know, it's different having a 6-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 26-year-old, and a 36-year-old. Amen. And if God willing, you live long enough to see your children's children grow. And then again, you bring another wisdom, a generational wisdom into that so scenario. So amen. So I'm going to share a little bit some upcoming events here that's coming up that we wanted to share a little bit here on Issues Christian Men's Talk. Well, our first event is coming up. It's right around the corner. It's the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence, the 2016 Dialogue Series. This one is directed for men. The role of men in preventing domestic violence. Increase awareness, end the silence, connecting with resources, and being proactive. But as you know, domestic violence is one of those things, if every man is listening, if you thought about it, if you think back in your past, you know episodes, events of domestic violence in your life, your family, your friends, and even sometimes in other married couples, you know. And we all know that the stigma, the embarrassment, the pride, the struggle, the anger, the frustration, all those things accumulate. But we want to talk about the role of men in preventing that. And that, and some of that is about, you know, being in a place where we're able to intervene, where we're being able to speak into the lives of other young men. You know, because some folk were raised, and some of us were raised in the circumstances where we saw violence, and it was just part of a couple's thing. That was their thing. They fuss, they fight, they cuss. You know, they break something, they go through these emotions, and then, you know, that's good. And then a couple of days later, they're back together, and everything's good for the next 6-7 months until something else happens. But what we're going to be talking about at this dialogue series is going to be held on Wednesday, the 22nd of June, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. It's going to be located at the Baltimore Washington Conference Center of the United Methodist Church Mission Center. And that's address is at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. Zip code is 20759. You can go on the website to wearehopeworks.org, or you can call 410-997-0304. Registration, get more details. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be moderating a discussion panel, so I encourage you to come out and join us and gain some of the, and connect with some of the resources and how we can be proactive. There's also a thing for my brothers of faith and my pastors, my leaders, my ministers. What is the plan in your church? If you have a member who is a victim, a perpetrator of domestic violence, is there a plan? Is there an action plan? Is there a vision on how, what could you do? If someone came to a service, a Bible study, a small group, a Sunday service, and they was a victim. Or if you see a married couple and you see one of them with serious bruises, you know, I understand sometimes we laugh it off and we say things or we assume, you know, something else happened. But those can be part of the signs. So do you have a plan in place? Does your leadership team know what to do? That you're not necessarily sending people back home to a dangerous situation, even if they come to the church and reach out to you. Amen. And also in this dialogue series, when we're going to talk about connecting with resources, we're going to connect with resources and bring speakers in who can talk about domestic violence with our young people, with our married couples, with those in the church that may, you know, again, if we're a church and we are engaging the community at all levels, that there's some folk out there who suffer through this. And as a body of Christ, are we prepared to deal with it? I know we're prepared to feed people. We're prepared to send people to rehab and drug addiction programs. We're prepared to, you know, feed folk and give out dinners and feed the homeless. But do we have things in place in our infrastructure to deal with domestic violence? So we encourage you to come out and join us. And that's going to be, again, on Wednesday, June the 22nd, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. at the United Methodist Church Mission Center there in Fulton, Maryland. You can go on our Facebook page, Issue Christian Men's Talk. All the information and the contact numbers are posted there. And we encourage you to come out, pastors, you know, send someone, send a leadership team, visit. I mean, you know, just take the opportunity to get the resources. Or you can direct, again, you can contact us directly and we can get you in touch with the Howard County Coalition to end intimate partners, violence, excuse me, act, getting that mixed up there. Amen. Also, coming up in July, we have a men's fellowship fish fry at the Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland. Their location is 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. That's in July the 16th. July the 16th, Men's Fellowship from 12 noon to 2 p.m. It's a fish fry. We encourage brothers to come out and fellowship and fry fish. It's going to be freshly fried fish. We're asking for a $10 per person donation up front. You can call at RSVP, put in your orders at 410-859-8002. Call RSVP, leave your information. Let us know, you know, we're looking again for the donation. We want to know people coming, how much fish we need to purchase and all the circumstances and sides and everything. So we're just looking for that opportunity to come together in fellowship, meet some of the brothers. I'll be there. Some of the other brothers who are on the talk show will be there. So we encourage you to for a time of fellowship, and that's in July the 16th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Amen. Amen. Also, we have, also with Jesus Lives Family Ministry, there's a men's retreat in the works. We're locked in to go September 16th and 18th, 2016. We're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center in Coralville, Pennsylvania. And the cost of that is going to be $250 per person. And we started taking monthly payments. The brothers there at the church, you can set up your payments. You can give them $50 a month. You can pay it all up front. But again, you can contact them by calling the church and they can get back to you and give you information, registration forms, and all the details by calling 410-859-8002. So we encourage you to take this opportunity to fellowship, come out, got a men's retreat. You know, you can bring five of your brothers, we bring 5 hours. We got a basketball tournament for the weekend. There's going to be activities, there's going to be teaching, also recreational activities. We're going to be out there playing some softball, probably some flag football, basketball, and just have a good time in fellowship and encouraging one another. Also, one more event coming up here. This is the Fire International Bible Church. They're doing a summer session from June 27th to August 8th, and that's affiliated with Pastor Barry Bishop. Barry McDonald is Dasco Ministries. You can reach out to them on email by going to FIFOCM@gmail.com or going to the website. It's www.fifocm.com and you can get the information there. They have a summer session going on. Some of the courses they're touching upon is going to be Bible beliefs, teaching adults of confidence, growing towards spiritual maturity, understanding people in church history. So this is their short summer session from June 27th to August 8th. And again, you can reach out there and contact them there. Also, you can contact Minister Rucker at 410-262-0632. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I just wanted to talk to the audience a little bit about fathering and about the importance of being the father and the things that we're called to do and be part of as fathers. I mean, it's just it's a changing landscape now, the way the culture is set up. But again, you know, we have this celebration coming up to celebrate fathers, and I just want to encourage men to be part of that and be and again, we take this opportunity to stop and look at where we are as fathers. We take time to look into the mirror, look at ourselves, and just we use this again. I like to say we use this as a milestone, because where were we at last year? What were we going through? good, bad, or whatever it is, and see how God has kept us, bring us through. Watch over our children, you know, because we went through all last year, from the summer, the winter, school time, and our roles as fathers, and some of the things that we did, the things that we wanted to accomplish. We set goals. We set goals for our children. Our children, we had expectations of our children, expectations for ourselves, that we maybe wanted to spend more time. We wanted to do more, spend more time with them, spend more of that fathering time. And again, our children are a year older. And where are they? Have they got to the part where they're more into their peers or than they are into the family? Because at a certain age and that teenage year, they're not sure where it happens. They get more concerned about who their peers are and what their peers think than family. You know, that I talked to a brother recently. We talked about this in a men's group. That you know, sometimes our kids go they want to hang out with their friends. More than want to hang out with your parents, especially going to the mall. Well, that used to be a thing, but you know, sometimes it's still a thing. They plan a lot of trips with their friends and do things with their friends more than they seem like they want to be with us. But again, that's part of the growth process and how we handle it and dealing with it. And one of the things I could say as a father that we have to definitely be, you know, on board and on top of it on who our kids' friends are. I think that's the biggest thing as far as that we have to be able to focus on and be able to that is a responsibility, you know, that we definitely have to be able to know who are our children's friends. It can be hard. Trust me, I've done it because all my kids are adults now. But, you know, when they were in their teens and middle school years, you know, we look back on it, and, you know, we have to know who their friends were and how important it was to try and, you know, connect with their peer group. Even though to the point of knowing who the kids they're hanging with are and their parents and where they live exactly. You know, so I know it's a lot, but these are the things that we have to be on top of because we have to raise our kids balanced. They have to have a social life. They have to know how to be interactive with other folks, you know. But we have to prepare them. And, again, we have called to be fathers as overseers to be, you know, we're setting an umbrella of coverage around them, and I think that's part of it, knowing their peers and who their peers are, especially in those years when they're looking to socialize. So, I mean, and now it seems like it may be younger in elementary school, but, you know, for my kids, it was really middle school at 13, 14 when they started to, you know, wanting to be around their peers and going to the mall. I don't know if the kids now, is that still something or if it's not. But we still have to be able to moderate that thing and monitor it. Pastor Watkinson, what do you think? How important it is now that us as fathers take that time to know the peers of our children?
I think it's very important that we take that time to know the peers of our children. I had to explain to one of my daughters why it was necessary for me to meet her friends. And this is the analogy that I gave her. I said, if I offered you an apple looked wonderful, but then I showed you the tree that the apple came from, and that particular tree was diseased, it was covered in ants, the apples, even though this one looked pretty, the other ones looked rotten, and they were rottening on the tree. I asked her, would you want to eat that apple? She said, no. I said, now if I showed you another apple that was same, that looked as good, that looked as wonderful, and then I showed you the tree that it came from, and that tree was pristine, and all the other apples on that tree were pristine, and everything was beautiful, and it was blooming and everything, and it was green and lush. I said, would you eat that apple? She said, yes, I would eat that apple. And I said, the reason we want to meet your friend's parents is we just want to see the tree that they come from to make sure they're coming from the right type of tree that you need to be dealing with. And it's just that simple with our kids. We just need to know where they're coming from, what kind of tree their people are hanging around, because once you know the kind of tree they come from, you can know what kind of kids they are, and then you can be able to say which ones you need to lean towards and which ones you need to lean away from. Now, it's important that when you tell a child or when you tell your children you know, not to stay away from this child, because the same thing that you tell them not to do is the thing they're going to do. But you have to give them the reasons why and then explain things to them and give them the expectation. One thing I found that was true with my children is that not that I told them not to, but I set the expectation. I told them what to expect. I'm telling you, this is what this child is going to do, or this person is going to do. Or if you want to go to the club, this is what's going to happen. Or if you hang out in certain places, this is what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to give you the option of making an educated decision, but let me educate you on the things that are going to happen. And then the second thing is that if they do make the wrong decision, not to trip out, flip out, and go ballistic every time they make a mistake. These are the three things that we must do, because these three things will allow the open lines of communication. Now, I'm not going to say everything is always going to be perfect, but if you do those three things, you set the expectation, you see what kind of tree their friends come from, and then you allow them to make an educated decision and don't flip when they make those wrong decisions, but educate them on the things that they should have done. This opens a lot of communication. It makes them more open to talk. It makes them more open to bring situations to you. It makes them more open, if they make a mistake, to come to you and say, you know what, I made a mistake, I should have listened. And these things will happen if we had just opened up those lines of communication and set the expectation. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, you're correct. And, again, this is part of the process of fatherhood. This is the thing that I want to encourage young fathers in. And also I want to be able to encourage some brothers who are in the midst of those teen years, those middle school years. This is the time of testing. This is the time of prayer. This is the time when you need to, you know, seek the wisdom and the counsel. And the thing that I really want to share with young fathers is, this is going to be the time where you're going to have to be able to, you're going to have to learn some things about yourself, because this you know, it can go either way. It can be a frustrating time. It can be a time where, you know, that the gap starts to build between in your child's relationship that you I'm not going to say that you can't overcome it and fix it, but this is where we're sensitive, because also if your children in your teens, you may be in your mid 30s or 40s. And you had the pressure of job and work and all the things that come about. And then, you know, your child is doing some stuff. And these are what I call the pressures of life. And these things are the norm. But again, through God, through prayer, through working with your spouse, your wife, on the boundaries and how to set the boundaries, how to enforce the rules, how to disciple your children in that thing. It's a challenge, but again, we have to be attentive to the challenge, and we can't put it to the side. We can't what's the word I'm looking for? We can't delegate it, but we're not involved, you know. And we're so busy, and we leave everything to our wife. We leave everything to somebody else. We leave it to the youth pastor. We usually leave it to whatever, you know what I mean? And so we have to have a balance in our life. We're purpose about these things, and again. My thing is, what I've learned is, we need to be proactive. And the best way I believe that is to be proactive is to be engaged in our kids' life and help them as they develop their social life outside of the family. I mean, that sounds like wisdom now, because that's, you know, that's not how I necessarily me and my wife handled it. But we learned it over the years, and, you know, we have three children, and it was different for all of them, because, again, our children's personality was different. You know, some of our children, my son and my two daughters, their personalities dictated certain things. They didn't want to be around certain folk anyway. And then we usually reinforce that, like you said, learning who the kids that were, you know, learning where they're at, knowing where they all live, you know, that type of thing. And then, you know, some of that knowledge and our kids knowing that helped to govern them and the things, their choices. And again, it goes back to, you know, there's a lot of books out there, but there's really no instructions. So we, as fathers, that's why we have to pray for the wisdom of God to be able to know who our child is. And if you have more than one child, how do we handle and juggle the personality? What do you think, sir?
I agree with you. You know, it is important that we learn each individual child to know what their strengths, their personalities, and everything else. And the thing that I was thinking about while you were talking, Deke, was that one of the most important things in this is to have a prayer life and a devotional life, because it's in this prayer life that God begins to show you not only you but your children. And to be able to see them for who they are, for what their challenges are, for what their gifts are, for what their potential is, and for where God is trying to take them. All of this is the job of the father as the priest of the household. It's not the job of the church to direct the lives of your children. It's the job of the father. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I didn't make the right choices sometimes. Well, a lot of times I didn't make the right choices. And with my daughter, you know, I made the statement one time with one of my children. I said, you know, you guys don't come with the manual. And my daughter looked back at me and she said, you know, you guys don't either. So it's a give and take there. So you have to learn that the same way I deal with this child, I can't deal with that child. And the same gifts that this child has may be the struggles that the other child has. Excuse me. So we have to be able to, we have to be discerning. That's the word I'm looking for. We have to be discerning when dealing with our children, to understand the differences between the children, to understand their strengths and their struggles, to understand their propensities and proclivities, to understand the things that they deal with and the things that they don't deal with, to understand how they move and how they don't move, and then be able to direct them in the ways that they should go. One child I know that I didn't have to worry about her hanging out late at night because she was a morning person. She wasn't going to hang out late at night. So you have to understand how your children are. So these are the things that you must know. And it's important that you have a prayer life, that you are discerning and talking to God about your children. Just as a pastor must talk to God about his parishioners, the same thing we must do for our family members. Because we have to be able to guide them and direct them and lead them, and we also have to be able to cover them. The one thing that I tell people all the time is that when you read the book of Job, and it's skipped over many times, it says Job offered sacrifices every morning for his family. And it wasn't for the fact that they were doing stuff wrong. It was for what they might do wrong. And many times we have to be willing to intercede for our family and for our children for those things that they might make mistakes on, and then we have to cover them in prayer to make sure that they have enough grace following them that it doesn't hurt them as much as it could possibly hurt them. These are all the things that are in the role of the father, and many of us, because we don't know that these are our tasks and what these are things that we need to do. What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. I agree. It's a minefield, put it that way. And it takes, and again, it takes the wisdom of God. It takes knowing, you know, when to pray, to listen to God, to get divine instruction. And it's a whole thing, you know, that as men of God, that we are called to do certain things. You know, I just want to encourage that, you know, every brother out there that's listening, whatever's going on, you as a father, as we talk now about our kids under 21, whatever's going on, whatever you deal with, and it may all be good right now. Then, you know, that's fine. That's fine. It may all be good. But again, remember, fatherhood is a lifetime job. Right after marriage, it's the number two most important covenant that a man has in his life. That is because it affects the generations. It affects the generations to come. I talk to young brothers all the time, and any young men that are listening now, you know, your toddler, your 2-year-old, your 5-year-old, it's that child's going to grow up someday and be a parent. That child's going to grow up someday and be an adult in the culture, and then you'll tell them what the culture is going to look like. If you have a child that's under 10, there's no telling what America's going to look like by the time they reach adulthood. Amen. Not even adulthood, and they become teens. Because we have to, again, as men of God, as the church, as the body of Christ, we have to prepare that next generation to be light and salt, no matter what's going to happen in this culture. Because, you know, the culture now, God could be doing this to to prune and purge, and it could be a turnaround. God could even be doing it. I was talking recently, you know, that Amanda, all this is going on could be because God is about to have a revival. But remember, the revival starts first in us, and we have to be in a place where we'll be able to hear and receive what God is doing and what he's saying. But again, as fathers, as we get back into that and get back on our point here that we want to talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, is that we talk about fathers being the shepherds in the home, being the shepherd, what we do, we nurture, we encourage, we edify, we teach, and we love, and we set boundaries and for our children. Amen? And that's the biggest thing I wanted to get grasped to those brothers who are still raising the minors, those under 21, the toddlers, the teens, the preteens, the teenagers. We have to continue to be able to speak into their lives, be influencing their lives, be a constant influence for good, for thinking, because we can't dictate. We have to give them the power to reason and think things through. And that's the greatest tool I think we can give our kids, is let them to think it out. We as fathers, we set boundaries and lines, and then we give them also that room to make the right choices and to reason through the circumstances. Because one of the things that we have to understand, especially as fathers, when we're not around them, what are they going to do? And that's, again, why we have to, you know, instill it in prayer, instill it in conversation, and be engaged. You know, we talked about this, I know, a while. We've been doing the show here for a couple of years, but one of the things we talked about way back was kids don't need half the stuff they want. And if you think giving them everything and buying them stuff and getting them the latest and the greatest, and that necessarily will not going to work for you when it comes to their personality, their morality, their convictions, and their faith. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you, Deke, man. The most important thing as a father that you can give your child is time. All your child really wants is for you to be their dad. You know, they don't really care about how much money you spend on them. They don't really care all the time about, you know, what you can buy them and where you can take them. What they want is the time with you to be dad. They want to be able to see who you are. You know, for daughters, they want you to be able to tell them what they can be, to give them a sense of identity, to tell them that they have the ability to do anything they set their mind to, that to give them a sense of independence, that they can do anything and don't necessarily need to have a man to do everything. For your sons, they need something to bump up against. You know, my dad used to run in the house, and the first thing I would do is run up to him and punch him in the stomach. You know, Dad, I can beat you up, or Dad, I can pick you up. Dad, I can beat you in basketball, da, 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 da. Because I'm bumping now my manhood up against his manhood to see how far I've progressed in mine and how far I have to go. A boy can't bump up against his mother to test his manhood. It's a different aspect. It's a different dynamic. So he needs that man to bump up against.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That, you know what? Really? You're going to get us in trouble there, brother. But, you know, it's funny when you said that. I thought of something Tony Evans said. He might have been a couple months ago when you wrote his book. You know, we're raising our sons to be men just like their mothers. And that's something you got to take that, let that soak in. But you're right. You're right. That importance of doing that thing. And that comes. Again, there's so many, I don't want to get clinical and psychological, but there's just so many things that unfortunately the culture and even sometimes in trying to encourage, you know, single mothers, that we lose the value of a man, of a father in a child's life. And I think it goes back again, you know, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago at a gathering about, you know, how that the devalue of men and devalue of men as husbands and fathers in the family dynamic. that you necessarily need a husband or father to have a family. And we've taken, look, I don't know how I want to say this gently, but we've taken things that circumstances and wanted to make them the norm to make people feel okay. And then we're reaping. So in the culture, in society, we're reaping some of that benefit or some of that thought that was out there, like you said. You know, we're raising our girls not to think that they don't need a husband or a father, but they can have a child, but they don't need to be commit to a husband. You know, their child don't need a father, you know. And that just, it starts to develop a cycle. You know, I'm not going to want to get into the whole clinical and psychological thing, but just stand out here and look around and see where the troubles are. I've talked to brothers who do prison ministry, who are in the front lines and do prison ministry, and they come and they're talking to these brothers, and they didn't have no strong male role model in their home. And then the role models they had was from the street, who people who didn't care about them, wanted to use them, wanted to make them soldiers, and use them, you know, for whatever. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you, Deke. You know, in the beginning, the first thing that the devil did was he challenged the authority of man, because he asked the woman, what did God say? Now, where did woman get – if God talked to the man and the man talked to the woman, and the devil is now saying, what did God say? She didn't hear it from God. She heard it from her husband. She heard it from the father. She heard it from the man. And when the devil says, well, that's not really what he said, now he's trying to discredit the male or the head of the household. And this is the same tactic that's been happening since the beginning. It's the enemy's tactic to discredit the head of the household, to leave the woman uncovered and unprotected, so that now the children are susceptible to anything that comes down the pike because there is no protection in the house. You know, I'm working on a series now called The Value of a Man. And in that series, one of the things that I figured out and I found out is that when you look at the statistics, when you look at the percentage, I'll give you some statistics. 83% of the people that commit suicide come from homes without fathers. 70%, over 70% of the people that are incarcerated come from homes without a man in there. Now, I'm not saying that just having a man in there is going to be great, but it does lessen the odds of them ending up in bad circumstances. Having a godly father there, even greater, lessen those odds. So as a man, it is important, it is necessary that we take that leadership role, because the lives of our children are hanging in the balance. We need to be there to be that influence, as you said, to be that influence, to be the one that pours into them, not only to pour into them, but also covers them and protects them and then speaks into their life. You know, like I said, I always say it should not be that what I teach in the home is a confirmation of what the pastor said in the church. That what the pastor says in the church should be a confirmation of what I teach in the home. It should be the other way around. And many times we're not teaching anything. We're leaving it to the pastors to try and teach everything. But if we teach it first and let the pastors confirm it, then we are reinforcing the dynamic that is necessary to help our children become who they're supposed to be. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, that's one of the things. The month of June, I invite you, if you're listening to It's Your Christian Men's Talk, come stick with us, because the month of June, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. The husband and the father's responsibility for the spiritual and the spiritual discipleship and mentoring of his family. And we're going to spend time on it, because it's not diminishing the role of the pastor, teacher in the church, and also being a church, you know, part of a church, a local body of believers. But there's a responsibility as husbands and fathers that we have about the Word of God. First, our own salvation. First, our own spiritual growth and maturity. that we have to study the word, live the word, live by the word. Then we set the example and we set the tone and atmosphere. But again, that's going to be another show. We invite you to stay with us for the month of June, because that's one of the responsibilities of a father to be able to do that. And it doesn't, you don't have to go. You know, one of the things I tell brothers all the time, you can't necessarily spend time going to seminary, going to even Bible college or whatever. But there's tools and there's ways out there that the lay person, you know, I'm going to use that term, the lay person, that the person in the pews, the rank and file, whatever you want, however term you want to use, that you can study to understand the word yourself. And your pastor, your Bible studies, and I always encourage folk. I encourage folk, if you know, is Bible studies, any church you go to, I'd say go to the Bible study for 6 to 8 weeks and ask your questions, see what's being taught, because, you know, Sunday service, you know, whatever. Sunday service is going to be a lot of different things. And again, in the Sunday service, you're never going to answer the question. Even though the sermon might go forth, there's who you might have a question. And Bible studies is the way to get the answers to deepen your knowledge and understanding. Because again, as Christians, our faith is based on the word of God. And our faith is based on what Jesus taught, what Jesus said, and what the apostles wrote for us in the 66 books of the Bible. And for us to be Christians or to be faithful to what we say we believe is to know what we believe and know why we believe it. The only way we can do that is to study. Because Scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So that's one of the things we're going to talk later on this month and in our upcoming shows about the responsibility of a husband and a father to be able to teach his family. You know, because I shared this before, but, you know, there was at a men's group, a brother shared with me. His brother, all his kids were grown, and he said one of the things that he regretted the group most was he advocated, I'll say that, the spiritual growth of his kids to the youth department, the youth pastor, what they were doing in youth group. You know, they may be doing a lot of things, but some of the basic foundational things and some of the other things he wished he would reinforce or even taught for their understanding that their faith would be stronger when they reach that young adult age. Amen. So again, you know, we're talking tonight, and we're not talking as experts, we're not talking as, you know, guys who got it all right and done it all right. But it is once you come into the knowledge that we have to be able to speak about it. And again, I just want to emphasize this to the brothers out there, that still, again, fatherhood is the greatest, is the second most important covenant right after marriage. That we are to be fathers in all seasons of our kids' lives. And we should be there for them. I know a lot of the, you know, back in the day, I don't know about church brothers, but I know there's folk out there, their kids get a certain age, they kick them out there and let them take on the world, you know, the best way they can for different reasons. You know, either they can't do it, they're done with it, they want to go run the street their own self, whatever. But as men of God, we're different than that. And we have to prepare ourselves for that and mature in it, you know. So, again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Pastor Larry Watkins. And tonight we're just talking about how you're doing as a father, you know. And we invite you to call in and share, you know, if you have stories or share some wisdom or something that you went through in the last year. From last Father's Day to this Father's Day, we're a week away. And, you know, we encourage you to, you know, if you want to share, you can call in by calling 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in on that number and join us there. But also you can go on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can send us a message, send us a question, and share your insights that you might have listening to the show tonight. Also, I just got a message here I wanted to share. We have an event that's upcoming. As a matter of fact, it started tonight. So this is fresh off the presses. They just sent me. I just got the email and got the information here. It's a Men of God Fulfilling in the Priesthood Conference. It's being hosted by Apostle Larry Lee Thomas at the Empowerment Believers Church. at 7566 East Holland Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland, from June 13th to June 16th, every night at 7:30 p.m. We have conference speakers there. We have Bishop Sterling Porter, Bishop Abraham Shanklin, Pastor A.M. Flowers, and Bishop Antonio Palmer. And we encourage you to come out and join us in fellowship for that. Again, that's at Empowerment Believers Church at 7566 East Howard Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland, all this week. And join us. I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be there on Thursday night. So we encourage you to come out. We won't be live on Thursday. We're going to be out on the road. We might try some technical miracle, and we might broadcast it live on the radio program. I'm trying to work that out now. But anyway, on Thursday the 16th, we'll be out there in fellowship with Apostle Larry Lee Thomas. Amen. Pastor Watkins, let me ask you this as we continue on talking about fathers today. I know you have adult children, and I have adult children. And one of the things I would like you to share is one of what are you most thankful for? Now that your children are at a certain age and they have their own children and their own family, as you look back over the years, what is one of the things that stand out most that you're really thankful for, that you've seen the fruit of the labor and the foundation that you put out there?
One of the things that I think I'm most thankful for with my children is that I opened them up to a diversity of things. What do I mean by that? Is that I didn't just, when it came to things that I exposed them to in their life, I did not just pigeonhole them into one area. I tried to let them experience a broad range of different things, a broad range of music, a broad range of literature, a broad range of not just television, but the movies that we saw, not just allowing them to just watch movies, but to see musicals and to open them up to plays and different things, to open them up to art and all those things, to give them a broad horizon, to let them see that the world was just bigger than their community, bigger than their neighborhood, bigger than their city, so that they could see different things, open them up to a broad range of foods and so forth, because it helped to make them well-rounded children. It helped them to open them up and see, I have daughters that are doing some wonderful things. I have some daughters that are great parents. I have some daughters that are doing exceptional teaching. I have some daughters that are even, I have one daughter that's even a lab scientist, you know, and it's because, and not to pat myself on the back, I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying one of the things that God showed me was to give them diversity, to open them up to different things, to allow them to see different things and not just pigeonhole them to only listening to this type of music or only eating this type of food or only going to these type of places. You know, one of the other things that I was proud of was with my daughters I took them out to eat to places like Red Lobster, to Applebee's and everything like that, because that was, for them, that was fast food. My father-in-law and the Lord taught me to take them out because this became fast food for them, so that when they started dating, you couldn't just take them to McDonald's because they already said, my dad takes me to these places, my dad takes me to that place. And it was because I opened them up to those things that they now have a standard that someone has to meet in their life. And anybody that comes in their life can't just bring any old okey-doke, but they have to have a standard when they come in. What do you think, Dee?
Wait a minute, brother. Did you just say okey-doke? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I did say okey-doke, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay, man. That's okay. Amen. You know, you're right. You know, and that's one of the things that I look back on, too. I mean, I like that, and I pray that the brothers out there, again, middle school, teenage daughters, and even your sons, you set that standard. I like what you said about the fast food for them was Fridays and Applebee's. It wasn't Burger King, McDonald's. But again, we set the standard. We set the atmosphere. We can set their I want to say their limits, what their minimums are. That's what I'll say. We can set their minimum ceiling, and that's what we can do when they're young. We set their minimum ceiling, their minimum standard of things, and I think that's one of the things that diversity talked about. You know, personally, my thing was I look back to when, you know, me and my wife got into the church because my kids were already teenagers. And I think that exposure helped them in shaping a lot of their thinking and a lot of thinking differently, because we were, you know, because we were just as when we were married and we were, you know, like we were married 15 years before we came to the church. So the things we were doing that were normal. I'm not going to say it was all sin, but it was all cultural, and it wasn't as diverse, and it didn't have, so let me say this. It was a church where we was able to structure and mold the moral foundation for our family and for our children. And I think that was the biggest thing, that because even, you know, even it brought that back to me, the realization of needing a moral foundation that we just don't assume our kids know right from wrong. And I think that's the biggest thing, that we assume a lot of things. And that's one of the things as a father, you know, I had to, you know, backtrack and get myself engaged, because we take for advantage that we assume our kids know what we know. You know what I mean? Just because they're around us, or they live in our house, and they think we assume that they know what we're thinking, but we haven't really taught them. And that's one of the things that I've seen myself, that I had to, even when I say it now to brothers, you have to engage your kids and make sure they understand. We just can't assume because they're around us, they're just picking this stuff up. Because they're being influenced by a lot of different things. Because my kids, it was the 80s, 90s, there was a lot of other influences out there. But because we were really engaged in what was going on, and again, we set limits in our home. I remember distinctly, and you know, me and my son talk about it, because when rap music went and made that negative turn, like in the mid '80s, early '90s, all that negative rap, they didn't listen to it. They wasn't allowed to listen to it. They didn't buy it, and we was able to give them something else, like you said, different form of exposing to other things, so that wasn't engulfing their brain and engulfing their thought. So that's one of the things that I encouraged and I look back on now, that just coming to be able to understand that I had to set the moral foundation and the chalk mark in the home. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, Pastor Larry Watkins. And tonight we were just sharing a little bit about fatherhood and having a conversation on how we were doing and some of the things that we look back over our lives, over our roles so far as fathers, and some of the milestones and some of the things that we did, that we learned over years of experience. Amen. And so we're gonna wrap up here in a minute. But Pastor Watkins, let me ask you this one thing before the thing. I want to just be able to ask you, you know, what are you most thankful for right now as a dad and a granddad, and looking back? You know, we got a long way to go, bro, but you know, in this past couple of years, the thing that you're most thankful about for your whole fathering experience thus far?
The thing that I'm most thankful for is that my kids got a wonderful sense of what it needed to be. They needed for in being independent. I have daughters that are independent. You know, you have those that get it, and you have those that sometimes don't get it, and it takes them a while to get it. But all of them have persevered and become great people, man. Great. I'm proud of the people that they've become. Some of them still have some growing to do, but I am proud of the people that they became. And some of it was because of me, and some of it was in spite of me. But one of the things that I'm most thankful for is the people that they've become. And I'd like to think that I had a hand to play in it, but I give it all the glory goes to God, because if He hadn't helped me, they wouldn't be here. So I'm happy for the people that they became. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen, amen. You know, you're right. And that's one of the things that, you know, I look at when you said that, I said, you know, as I look at my kids, I'm proud that they endured some stuff. Because, you know, they made right choices, and they were able to make decisions. And, again, I think that's the greatest thing I thank God for is that they have reasoning mind. You know, we talk about our kids not being followers and being leaders and all that, but sometimes it's about the choices and be able to think through and be able to process. I think that's what it is now. It's teaching kids to think. And I see in my kids, they see challenges, they see obstacles, they overcome them, they're able to adapt, adjust, and do what it takes to get whatever they have. And I see that they have vision. And I think that's the biggest thing, that they have a vision. So if something doesn't go their way, they don't get discombobulated and give up. And that's the greatest thing I say that I see in my kids, that they've been tested, and I've seen them overcome some things. Like I said earlier, you know, sometimes as a father with adult children, we have to let them figure it out. I mean, we're ready to grab them and catch them, like if they were ready to fall off out of swing when they were little, but we have to let them figure it out. And I see that they have that mind that they can figure, they can, you know, I say they can think their way out of a paper bag. Let me say it like that. And that's the biggest thing I'm proud of. They can, if they get it, if they're in a paper bag, I know that they got it, that they can find their way out of a paper bag. Because if they can't find the opening, they can break through the bottom of the bag. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave it as that. Amen? Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. We invite you to join us, call in, and join us. You can also listen to this broadcast on the archive or rebroadcast at going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can send a link there. You can play this. You can play all of our previous shows. All of our shows are archived there. And you also can click on, if you look at, when you go to the page, it's upper right-hand corner. If you click on follow, and then you'll be sent an email or your Facebook notice when we're doing a live show or do a new download. So we encourage you to join us there. Also, you can reach out to us on Facebook at Issue Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page. Join the group. Brothers, I encourage you. We do daily devotionals. We post upcoming men's events, men's breakfasts, men's fellowships, time for men to come together and minister one to another and just get to know some brothers in the body of Christ and expand your circle of influence and those brothers around you. And also we're on Twitter. You go to Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Follow us there. We also post our daily devotional. Well, daily, it's every other day now, but we're going to get caught up with Twitter, and we're going to be sending out messages, contacts, again, men's meetings, because right now we've got a lot of men's meetings that are meeting monthly, and right, it's starting to fall into place. It seems like every week some ministry is having a men's group, so that's an opportunity for us to fellowship. If you couldn't make it this week, there's another one coming the following week. So we encourage you to join us there, join us on the Facebook page, and reach out to us in fellowship. And again, you can call in to this show. You can become part of the conversation, share your wisdom, share your experiences, and even share your solutions for some of the issues that men are going through as we lead, love, and raise our children and our family. Pastor Larry Watkins, thank you, sir. God bless you. We'll talk again soon.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Hello, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling